This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Now, obviously the game was wildly different in the fourth quarter as opposed to the first three. Do you get the sense that that's going to be the case for most of the season, or do you see the fourth quarter as this is the team we can be versus the first three quarters is maybe where we're at right now?
Well, hopefully, you obviously believe, we believe that our team can play like we played in the fourth quarter consistently. That's what we got to get to. We've been through a rough patch there for seven quarters and haven't played well, and especially, the defensive side of the ball. But some of that comes with a new scheme, a new coordinator, and obviously we got off to a good start in Cleveland, but we played two really good football teams that run the ball really well, and certainly is something where we've got to continue to improve if we want to be the team we want to be.
Jerry said last night he likes the personnel of this team. I'm guessing you do as well. How long do you usually go into a season before you might revisit that? I'm sure three games is too soon, but where would you get in the season where you'd be like, maybe we're off about this?
Oh, I think the biggest thing is obviously people want to point at and I'll go right to it, our running game. But when you get behind like we've got in the last two games, it's hard to really evaluate a running game when you're down two scores, two plus scores most of the game. And, obviously you get into a mode where you're having to hurry up and, throw the ball and you don't really get to evaluate what you have. I think we're blocking it up good. I think when we do run, I think yesterday Rico ran for 4 yards a carry. So, we just got to get our team in situations where, we're not fighting from behind like we have been the last 2 weeks.
Well, on the other side, though, that part of trying to, not be behind the defensive front, the personnel there, do you feel comfortable with what that personnel is at the moment, your defensive tackles and ends?
I think we can get better, obviously. We brought in three veteran guys now, to try to shore up the inside part of our defense. And certainly with Joseph and Phillips and, we're obviously trying to improve there, but I do think we'll get better.
McCarthy said that this team is going through growing pains. And do you have faith that he can guide this team through those pains right this season?
Absolutely. That's why we hired Mike in the first place. He's got a resume that shows that he gets the job done as a head coach. And Mike's coached championship caliber teams. He's won Super Bowls. He's been in several championship games and feel like he can get the job done for us.
Are you patient then with the idea that this team is a work in progress, or is there a different urgency for you?
No, I think, you do got to. I mean, as you start to go through the season, you want to get better. And certainly we had a good start in Cleveland, but then unfortunately we've had two games that we didn't, we're not playing winning football right now. And I do think, you got to give both the Ravens and the Saints credit. They're two of the better rushing football teams in this league. And we've just got to continue, and I know Zim will continue to get our defense to where we execute on the scheme we're trying to execute on, and obviously get to a point where we can win these football games.
One of the things that was circulating after the game yesterday was Jerry talking about how the team couldn't afford Derrick Henry. Do you think that is an accurate way to put it, or would you say like maybe the team doesn't value running back at paying out $9 million guaranteed?
No, I think, at the end of the day, you saw what we ended up having to pay Dak and CD, and obviously we're wanting to get Micah under contract long term. Could you afford him for the year and then have a major cap hit that you wouldn't be able to sign somebody like Micah? So yeah, you've got to pick and choose where you're going to emphasize and where you're going to put your cap resources. And certainly we've done that with Dak and CD and Zach Martin and obviously on the other side of the ball, Diggs. And you can only pay so many of those guys, and it's real. I know everybody wants to say, well, you could push something out, but at some point as you push out, you're going to have to then make a hard decision on somebody like a Micah. And, I guess to some degree you're accurate. Yes, we're going to emphasize probably pass rushers and the guys up front, the guys who make plays outside with CD, the guys who get the ball, like the corners, like Diggs. We do have to pick and choose where our priorities are.
On the sideline, Micah was going back and forth a little with DeMarcus. CD's going back and forth a little with Dak. What's your assessment of that, and how do you feel about that kind of those kind of interactions on the sideline?
I think that's part of it. I mean, these are competitive guys. These are guys who are used to winning. I mean, we've had 3 years in a row where we've won 12 football games and gotten off to good starts, and obviously getting off to a bumpy start here, there's going to be frustration. There's going to be emotion, and you want to see that. You don't want to see them with their head in the towel and not caring, and so that's just part of it. When you're off to a tough start like we have the last 2 weeks and you get down, there's going to be frustration and there's going to be emotion, and that's part of it. That's what competitors do. They compete, and obviously when things aren't going perfect, you're going to have it's part of being a competitor. Some of it comes out.
And I know y'all are on the field, but I have no doubt you're a competitor as well. Do you feel that same way? Is there discussions or like heated interactions around the star as well after that, because you feel that competitive vibe too?
Oh, absolutely. You can imagine. I mean, I'm sure picture paints a thousand words when that camera flashes up to Jerry, and it's definitely something that is very competitive inside of us. And obviously we've had a lot of good things happen for this franchise, but the one thing that hadn't happened and certainly is a spur or a thorn in Jerry's heel, if you will, is not being able to win a championship in such a long period of time. And no one wants to win, I can assure you, more than Jerry and myself. And everybody's out there competing right now. Obviously this is we're going through a rough patch as we convert to a new defensive scheme and coordinator, and we just gotta continue to go to work every day. I think our team's made up of the right kind of guys. I think they're gonna compete their ass off, if you will. And I know we're looking for ways to improve this team as well. But, this late in the season, once you get your team, there's not a lot of things you can do out there short of some sort of trade. But I believe in this group, and we believe this group can get it done. I thought it was great the way they battled back. It shows a lot about this football team. You see a lot of teams that just go ahead and mail it in when you're having that type of day through three quarters. And I thought our guys battled back, showed the right type of mental toughness to compete. And I think we'll continue to work going forward. I mean, obviously, I can tell you this team right now is not looking past anything. And certainly, going in to play the Giants in New York, they're kind of finding their path now. They had a big game yesterday, and we've got our work cut out for us.
You were talking about how obviously the NFL trade deadline is usually not as busy as other major sports, but do you believe that you guys have the potential assets or salary cap space that you could do something if you wanted? I know you said you like this group, but do you feel like you have the assets where you could make a move if you wanted?
Every situation's different. It's just, could we take advantage of an opportunity if we felt like the situation that was there? Absolutely we can. Obviously, you know, the cap's a lot more than just about this year, but we, you know, where our pressure starts to hit is going forward, you know, as we try to have three players the caliber of Dak and CD and Micah, that's where the pressure goes. So, you know, each situation's different. It could be you make a trade for a guy who's on a one-year deal, and you don't have the issues that come with you know, the cap hits going forward. So all these things are things that we'll measure, we'll look at, and if we feel like there's a situation out there that improves us and makes us better, we'd certainly do something like that.
I love the insight that you can give us on the cap. I'm curious. I'm hoping you can help, you know, hopefully even educate me on this. Micah Parsons, it looks like his cap hit with a club option next year is about to be 21.3, give or take. And I know that he's going to cost more than that in terms of average per year, but because of the way I'll structure contracts, won't his number actually be lower next year on the cap? So when you talk about like, hey, we got some guys we got to pay, isn't Micah's number probable to go down next year once you get a long-term deal going with him?
Yeah, we certainly need that to happen. Obviously, we're taking advantage of that with CD and Dak this year. CD's number ended up being less than it was counting because of his tender, just like you mentioned about Micah. But at some point, all these numbers come home to roost. One thing that's unique is Dak's one of the few quarterbacks in this league that's on his second contract, second big contract with the same team, and we're still paying, you know, we're still paying $45 million from the old contract that's due over the next 3 years that we pushed out. So, you know, all these things are things that.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents. It's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
No one wants to hear about. There are problems, and we've got to deal with them, and we're doing the very best we can. Obviously, we are a team that really counts on drafting and developing players. And we're not a big player in free agency, but and we certainly understand when things aren't going well, like is the case right now. You drop two games at home when you're used to consistently winning at home, and you know everybody's going to question your mechanics and your process. So we understand that. We believe in what we're doing. We believe in this football team, this coaching staff, and believe we'll right the ship.
I really appreciate that answer, especially since you set up potentially my next question about questioning the mechanics of it all. You talk a lot about how the Cowboys have won 12 regular season games three straight years, while also you're trying to correct your cap problems. If you feel like you're that close, would you not maybe kind of burn future years of the cap a little bit more, thinking, hey, we keep winning 12 games, we keep being in the playoffs, why not kind of like actually push all in with the cap and maybe risk those next couple of years?
Well, it goes to giving up on somebody like Micah, to where you have to move on from him. Yeah, if you want to push it all out there, then you won't have the resources to pay a player like Micah, pay a player like Tyler Smith. And, you know, that's, you know, in the eye of the beholder. Totally understand what you're saying in terms of pushing it all out. But at some point you do pay the price. And you know, it's not always the right answer to go out and pay a big free agent. They don't always perform to the dollars. So we totally understand it. Understand that people are going to have differing opinions, especially, you know, when we're, you know, had two tough games in a row at home, when we're have been consistently winning at home. But we certainly understand there's going to be frustration, and but at the end of the day, we believe in our process. We believe in this football team. We believe in this coaching staff. And like I said, we believe we're going to right the ship.
Appreciate the time, good sir, especially the insight on the cap stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey, I was just going to say, it's tough to keep track of this like while you're doing the interview sometimes, but once again, you see a palpable level of anger from the way things are going. Mm-hmm. And one thing I did appreciate is, like Stephen said, hey, I understand why you might think that. We choose to do it differently. And I feel like I've made my feelings clear about this. The way I would handle a salary cap, and I don't have any money, versus the way they do, is entirely different.
Yeah, just kind of based on that last part of his answer where you were saying, why wouldn't you do that? And he's like, well, because we could lose Micah. I don't necessarily agree that that's going to happen, because I think there are some tricky ways to get around that still anyway. You've laid that out before.
I agree.
I guess I'm more curious about like how do you know when it's that team to go all in for?
That's a good question.
Because this team still has holes. Their defensive line, their running backs, but I'm not saying they could have made all those additions this offseason. I'm sure money could have been spent a certain way. But knowing that that's the right team and it's time, I felt like last year was it, right? This year, maybe they're looking at going, this might not be the right team. But at the same time, there's got to be a moment where you're like, this is the one. This is the time we're going to make that decision to do that. And you got to be willing to lose a player like that in the future if that's the case.
You did hear something from Steven right there as well about how they've had to fold in the $45 million left over in Dak's previous deal into this current one. Now, I know there are switches in these contracts that you can flip it, but what I'm looking at right now, his Dak's cap hit next year is approximately $90 million. So, like, I know that won't stand, but the year after that, it's 68, then 62, then 72. So,
doesn't feel like it's getting any easier.
So, when you hear we need to pay players like Micah, just my interpretation of that is, and we still have a lot of residual money left over from the Dak deal that we have to figure out a way to try to flatten out as best we can. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Cowboys, no thank you notes. Who needs to hear it? After another home loss. Franklin Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. We'll do it next, right here on The Fan.
All right, now it's first and goal from the 19. Man, they just really need to find a way to score a touchdown. Snap to Prescott, looking right, throws a slant to the 10-yard line. And the ball came out from CeeDee Lamb, and the Ravens have it at the 10.
KNC PNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line if you want to get involved in the conversation. Who gets your Dallas Cowboys no thank you notes after a second straight regular season home loss? Obviously, I know you can go back to last year. Third straight home loss. It is unfortunate, and I'm sure there are plenty of people who have no thank you notes.
Yeah, the first one that I saw, Kevin, I don't think his name heard all year. No thank you to Will McClay, man. His last two draft classes have been average, being very nice. Mazi, Scooney, Tolbert, Deuce, Guyton, BB, Carson have been absolutely awful at helping this team, and McClay always gets praise.
I'm willing to... Look, I talked a lot about, if we're throwing out the group, I talked a lot about how I thought DeMarvion Overshown was going to be awesome. I know it's early, but he's another one of the issues of people that you have just getting pushed off the ball, either at or obviously a little bit behind the line of scrimmage. I'm willing to give BB and Guyton some more time. And Carson, this was a tough game for Kalen Carson. I'm willing to give them more time because it's been three games.
Yeah, and last week was tough for him too, giving up the... He was one of the key reasons on the Shahid touchdown. And then this week, he doesn't have very much room at all against the Eagles.
What?
And I think Alec had that situation pop up on him.
Yep.
But that's two big-time plays where just out of position, being a rookie, that's part of it. Being, you know, the nuance of it all, but... Yeah, I mean, you do need tougher play. You don't need somebody to go, that's the mark right there. We know that we can go at him if we need to make something happen. I'd like to give a no thank you note to Trayvon Diggs. I will say also thank you at the same time. Here's why.
Oh.
No thank you on the biggest play of the game and not being able to make the play.
Yeah.
Diggs posted, that's on me, Cowboys Nation. I have to make that play. And you're damn right he does. There's plenty of moments in a game that lead to the outcome, but he's your damn star, and he has to show up in that moment. That's the money down. Third down is the money down in a big moment like those. You get a few of those moments every year to help define your team, and the fact that he says it's on him, I appreciate it, and I agree, and I hope he's kicking his own ass about it. I hope he's not just saying that. The stars are the best ones that they have to be out there. They know that they're there for that moment because they know that they hate failing. They hate losing more than they care about winning. Kevin, we talked about that so many times.
I agree.
Hate failing in those moments, but making those plays in those moments and then holding yourself accountable is contagious to the other people who want to win around you. That's what needs to happen more with this team. They need to be accountable to themselves first. They need to be accountable to the moments where they're failing and effing up really bad so that they can get out there and be better, and the rest of the team, they can say, you know what? I'm not letting my teammate down on this one either. So I appreciate that he said, I can't do that. But man, you're a damn star. You have to be out there for that big moment and make that play.
Would you kind of hope?
He knows it, though.
Yeah,
he knows it.
And I appreciate that. Would you kind of hope? And look, I'm not saying that Trayvon Diggs has ever been the most amazing tackler there is in the world, but he got his money. Like, I know he's coming off an injury, but is there a part of you that wants to say, hey, like, you got money. You can be a little bit more aggressive with the tackling. I'm not saying I need you to go out there and be like Brian Urlacher or anything like that, but I do feel like we can see like a little bit of aggression in the tackling to help keep some of these plays from getting worse.
I've never been... That's one of the reasons you know you can run to the edge. They're not physical enough where Micah is. Hell, didn't Mickey just point out that Micah was in a four-point stance and they still couldn't stop
it? Yeah.
Because not that he's just undersized for the spot. He's right. They're a Sam Williams down, and they never replaced it. They said, we'll go with this Nealon kid because, you know, he's big. He's a draft pick that we got there. And then once you get around that corner, who's left to tackle? Diggs. And he's the first person that's going to be like, I am going to put my hands out to try and take you down, as opposed to putting a shoulder in you and making you pay and making you fear going to that edge again, or even hell, popping the ball out. So that's where I have a little bit of struggle with what I'm seeing out of Diggs. I love the fact that he can cover in most instances and he gets interceptions. I just wish that I had a corner out there that would just level people if they came around the corner.
I know this probably hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention. I wish I should have gone back and time-stamped when this was in the game. My apologies. No thank you note to Jalen Tolbert for seemingly pulling up a bit on that deep ball from Dak. Now, I realized by the time the ball got there, he was tightly covered and it was just a little bit out of his reach. But it looked like once the ball went up, he kind of misjudged it like an outfielder and he pulled up just a little bit, where I feel like if he would continue to go, that would have been a quality pass. And we were tough on Dak last week for underthrowing a couple of deep balls. I thought this one was going to be a really good one. And if Tolbert would have kept stride instead of hesitating, I think that could have been a huge play for the Cowboys offense.
Yeah, there are all these little spots, right, in the game where you just go, again, Kevin, go to the first part of the first drive. It got killed because of penalties.
Yes.
False start here.
What was Jake Ferguson doing at the beginning of the game?
Come on. And Brady, you got to give Tom Brady a little credit on the, hey, look, man, he's just been missing for a little bit. It's still early in the season for him. He's not in that form yet.
Do you like Tom Brady's on-the-spot throw grades? Because I will tell you, Dak missed the wide-open throw to Zeke on the 3rd-and-7. Now, obviously, Zeke was, like, turned around and still trying to make it happen. But that was going to be a first down. And Tom Brady goes, that's a D throw right there. And, like, earlier in the game, he's like, eh, it's like a C-minus throw. Do you like his on-the-spot grades for throws?
Yes.
Because I kind of do, but you know how our culture is. Like, we get tired of things quickly. So by week 8, are people going to be like, hey, why don't you shove it up your A for ass and shut up? Like, I'm curious. I like his on-the-spot grading thus far.
Yeah, I'm totally in on that, because do you agree that he might be the best decision maker of that generation?
It is of all generations. It's tough to argue. I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but he made great decisions. And what I thought Tom Brady was better at this than anybody I've ever seen play football is that spatial awareness and knowing when to get rid of the ball. There was a play in which Dak got tracked down and caught by the ankles, and Tom Brady, like in the middle of his sentence, he's like, nah, I'm not being real with you guys. He goes, oh, you're not going to see that coming from behind. And then he goes, but then again, you probably should be able to feel it or have the awareness. I always thought Tom Brady was amazing at knowing when to get rid of the ball.
There is a sense that the great quarterbacks have of knowing where everybody is on the field and where they might be based on the way their rhythm and their feel is. And some of them have it, and they can get rid of that ball quickly. It's like the moments where you're like, when you're looking at Caleb Williams and he's like, I can make this play. And he's running around in circles and doing all this stuff where he could have just thrown that one out of bounds and gone to the next play because there was nothing that was going to happen. You have to have that feeling inside and know exactly where that is. Kevin, I do want to, while we're still on Tom Brady, though.
Yes.
Here are his three keys to the game for the Cowboys to start. I wrote them down. Are we tough enough? Your answer.
No.
All right. It's a Dak game.
Can I just ask you, you don't think I'm wrong about that, do you?
I think you're not physically imposing at all.
Right now.
If teams are running 150, if you're Derrick Henry's running for 151 yards against you, you're not tough.
And by the way,
and we asked Jerry about that on Friday. I said, what's more important, physicality or scheme? And he was like, he gave some long answer. And I was like, dude, you could really say, I want my team to be the ass kicker. But what did he say? Those guys are ass kickers too on the other side. Don't give them any credit. Tell them I desire for my team to be the one that's going out there and sticking it to somebody else, as opposed to being, you know, they pay their players too. Man, you need to set the tone for your franchise, Jerry. Tell them.
The play that represented that to me, Corey, is Marshawn Nealon took 7 yards to tackle Derrick Henry on a play. Now, I know he was trailing from behind and Henry had momentum, but it took him 7 yards to make that tackle. So, no.
Not tough enough. It's a Dak game was point number two.
It wasn't. Like,
it was a Dak 2 drives at the end of the game?
It was a Dak 4th quarter.
He was very good there.
Now, just for the record, I'm not saying that this loss is all on Dak, but if Tom Brady's point was this has to be a Dak game, there's no chance that that was the case.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one was who besides Lamb?
Oh, who besides Lamb? Cue up cut number two, if you will, because we, unfortunately, because of the nature of no thank you notes, have had to ignore the most spectacular player on this team.
65 on the way. Line drive.
Unbelievable.
Just like going after the driving range. How about that?
Now, to your point, Corey, I know the answer can't be Brandon Aubrey.
It can't.
Like, it can't. I realize that the Commanders are like, well, hold on just a damn minute. We'll win games without scoring a touchdown. All right. But if you're really looking at beating quality opponents, it can't be Brandon Aubrey that's piling up your points. So who can do it other than CeeDee Lamb? And it can't be Brandon Aubrey. You didn't see it. You've got a great topic for tomorrow about this that I know we'll dive into, but I don't know. I didn't think that answer was available.
Yeah, and obviously Tom Brady is saying you have to have different balance on your offense to throw a team off balance. I mean, if you're going to try to get a defense on their heels, you have to be able to do multiple things. That's what happened with the Cowboys against the Saints. They were on their heels the entire game because they were like, are they going to run or pass on us? We don't know. And they ran more often than not because they could. And that's what Tom Brady, I think, was saying about the Cowboys is they need to be able to run the ball too. Not just some other pass catcher out there needs to be the guy, but they need to be able to run the ball too. Kevin, Aubrey made two field goals in the game, right? 65 and 51 yards. The third most through three games in franchise history. Only Richie Cunningham, 13 in 97, and Raphael Septien, 11. Yeah. Did those teams go to the Super Bowls?
No.
Right?
They did not. Brandon Aubrey is... he's amazing.
He is.
And I know...
thank you, Brandon Aubrey.
I just wanted to say that because I realize today is not the day to be like, hey, here's all these good things about the Cowboys, because it could probably be a shorter segment. But Brandon Aubrey has been incredible. He continues to extend his NFL record for longest start of your career, making 50-plus yard
15
field goals.
Straight.
That's unbelievable. You saw Justin Tucker. He used to be the best in the league. He doesn't have it anymore.
Blair Walsh made 12 straight to begin his career. Brandon Aubrey is now at 15 and counting. Unless he misses one this week and then that streak could be over very soon.
I'm in a bad habit too, that even at 51 yards, I was like, you're fine. That's a super long kick. And I really like Tom Brady again, giving the breakdown of this is usually the line of demarcation. And now if it's 50 yards, I'm like, bleh. Is he kicking in front of the midfield logo? We'll be fine if that is the case. Now, another no thank you note I have to throw out to just the Cowboys in general.
Did you say throw up?
Throw out.
Oh, okay. I felt like throwing up.
I could see that. Damn. I could definitely see that. The astonishing difference between the Cowboys being ahead and being behind. For the record, I like the idea of the Cowboys taking the ball first because we talk about how much they're a front-running team. They're the best front-running team. When trailing after the first quarter, they're 9-14, now 9-15. When leading after the first quarter, they're 28-2. Think about that. That's the best in the NFL since the start of 2021. I realize all teams are going to have like a good split, but not that dynamic of a split.
Just call the lead after first quarter play then. Like, I feel like that's what you do.
We don't have that.
Kevin.
Until the two-minute offense, to your point from earlier.
No thank you for taking the ball after the coin flip and not being able to do anything with it. Like, that you, the whole purpose is to score first and play from ahead. The Cowboys... everybody typically understands what you do in that situation. You defer and you take it the second half because what you would like to do is you would like to have a 14-point swing the last 2 minutes of the first half and then get the ball back and have another one. Maybe you get a 10-point swing. Maybe you only get a 6-point swing. But that's the window where you make up a difference in the middle of the game. If you're going to take it to start the game, you're telling your offense, we're going to go down there and score because my defense has not been very good and we might be trailing for the rest of the game.
And here's what actually happened, because Corey is 100% right. I don't know if you remember the sequencing of plays. I'm going to lay it back out for you, where you can see the Cowboys both play calling, perplexes, and they love to shoot themselves in the foot. Dak Prescott dumps the ball off to Rico Dowdle for 1 yard. Let's do it. And then you get a penalty. All right. First down. Back in the game. What are they going to do? They're going to run the ball. Dowdle for 3. Dowdle for 6. Now you have a 3rd-and-1. Exactly what you want. And then you get a penalty. So now you're back at third and five. And I know they converted that, but then short incomplete pass. And that has something to do, a lot to do with your offensive line and the amount of pressure that's going to fall on Dak Prescott, which then, guess what? Puts you at third and 10. You're already behind the chains. And what happens then? You get another penalty, which puts you at third and 15. I know you can convert third and 15. We've seen teams do it all across the NFL, but with the way this offense is going, that feels like a losing proposition before you've even snapped the ball.
From the 3-2-5, we're clearly going nowhere. We should trade Aubrey and ask for a fourth-round pick. We're just wasting his talent. We are. We're wasting the prime of his career. This is the prime of his career right now, and we're just screwing him over like we did Romo.
Do you think I could?
after the end of Brandon Aubrey's career, Jerry's going to say the worst thing I've ever done was not making sure that I could get Brandon Aubrey a Super Bowl.
My bold prediction. I think you could get more than a fourth-round pick for Brandon Aubrey.
You think so?
Is that a stupid
prediction?
Would
you do it? Would you trade him?
If I was
that weapon.
If I was a team.
Your leading scorer.
No, I would not. But if I was a team, then I'm like, man, we rock. Except, you know what? If I was the Ravens, I might. And I know that sounds like sacrilege because Justin Tucker is amazing, but he's clearly fallen on hard times. I would make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm sure I'll get lots of feedback for that. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it because I am about to get back in my bag. I'm about to get back in my wheelhouse here in just a minute. That's going to be my official response to one Peyton Russell.
Oh.
Here in just a second. We're going to hear what he had to say about me during the payload last Thursday here in just a few minutes. But you know how we start AM on the FM, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. We got a question of the day, and I find myself inspiring these often based off of conversations between myself and one of our engineers, Ruben Portillo. And this question is inspired by a picture he sent me during the pregame broadcast yesterday. Legends Hospitality, the great people that put on all the concessions and food at AT&T Stadium, dropped off something to him yesterday. It was a Frito pie.
Oh, Frito pie is so good.
It was not your typical Frito pie.
Were there Fritos?
There were Fritos.
Was there pie?
That is not
of some
how
sort.
Frito pie works, right?
Instead of chili and cheese, it was ice cream and sprinkles. And salty and sweet.
And Fritos?
Yes. And so I was like,
jalapenos?
No.
Okay.
Just ice cream. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to hate it until he gives me a review. And he said, actually, not that bad. Pretty good.
Were they Frito scoops or were they just the regular
just
Fritos?
Just regular Fritos. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you, since he approved of it, what is your favorite weird food combination? 877-881-1053. Because I really don't mind that salty and sweet idea. Every time I've tried one that I'm like, that can't be good. I've been surprised. So I'm not going to hate it. And I'm going to say that I bet Ruben was right. It was probably pretty good.
It probably was. There's always these weird combinations of salty and sweet. Like, Kevin, I've told you, I don't understand French fries and Wendy's Frosties.
But didn't you? Yes.
But people love it. Yes. I can't bring myself to it for whatever reason. I feel like I'm wasting a Frosty and fries.
You know, it doesn't contaminate the whole Frosty.
They're two good things separately. And so now I'm just wasting that bite by trying it.
This might be a dated reference. Are you that little girl in Signs that's with the water that's like, it's contaminated? Like, once you dip one French fry into the Frosty, you hand it back. It's contaminated.
No, but I've done that, whatever that, however many ounces of Wendy's Frosty I had, that's wasted.
I got
you. So, I need a little more. Mine is unique. My friend Shauna in like fourth grade showed this to me, and it is cheddar cheese off the block. You just cut a slice of cheddar, like cut a chunk of cheddar cheese and peanut butter. And I was like, that sounds disgusting. And then I tried it and I was like, this is the best fatty snack you could ever eat in your life.
Okay.
And if you want to have a very fatty snack, cheddar cheese and peanut butter. And I'm a crunchy peanut butter guy anyway, so I'll take that. But if you want to go with creamy on this, you can have creamy and cheesy all day long.
Now, I wonder if this counts, because I know some people who are like, oh, yeah. But other people are like, that's super weird. It started when my grandmother made this. It is cut up hot dogs and ramen. I think that combination is freaking elite.
Cut up hot dogs and ramen?
In ramen. And think about
Hold on. Are you like getting the hot dog flavored water here?
No.
Okay.
No.
Huh.
You cook the hot dogs separately, cut them up, and then disperse them in the already created ramen. And if you think about how much, I know inflation, but if you think about how ramen costs and hot dogs, you can feed yourself for a while on that.
That's fair.
You probably want to get like a decent level of hot dog. I'm not saying get the one that you're like, that's not even how you spell that. It's still $1.12. That's an unstable price to begin with. I'm saying like get like a decent hot dog, but you could still feed yourself for a while.
I saw a story that said a bunch of kids were dying from ramen noodles.
Huh?
That has been fact checked. And they say no evidence ramen noodles contain deadly bacteria.
Okay.
So be careful if you've seen that out there. Because there are a bunch of random weird websites that have said that five kids have died from ramen noodles.
I have to change my answer to something different.
Yeah. Ramen noodles are good.
But
my friend used to, we'd have a Christmas party every year, and all of us, now obviously we were in our 20s and very poor at the time, okay?
Sure.
Barely afford beer money. But every year we would show up with all these Christmassy things for the party, and he would show up with shells and cheese and hot dogs. And that was the thing that was gone. Like, it was empty. Everybody loved it.
Huh.
I don't know if that's just the kid in us or what, but shells and cheese and hot dogs was the way to go.
You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking about this ramen story. Now I want to, even if it's not true, I want to track their sales. Because this is when I knew that Blue Bell was unstoppable. That people got poisoned and there was fear of death. And the second they kicked back up after the Listeria outbreak, people were like, give me my freaking ice cream. That's how you know your brand's working. Hey, it could have killed you like that other person. You're like, oh, I'll take that chance.
Did we only know that it was killing people because, or Listeria was there because that girl licked the ice cream? Was that when it all started, or are those two separate moments in time?
I can't really remember. That's a good question.
Like, why don't they have a plastic case over the top of Blue Bell?
If they weren't connected, they were eerily close.
Okay.
Because I remember that timeline being like oddly connected in some way. There's some odd combinations coming in on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. I see from the 469 cheese and pancakes.
Cheese, like just regular ass Colby Jack or something
just
like that?
Says cheese and pancakes, man.
Huh.
From the 682 jalapeno stuffed with peanut butter.
Man, I feel like peanut butter is a heavy
peanut player. Butter. I've seen peanut butter a lot on this because I feel like peanut butter is a thing. You know, some kids can't eat it.
Peanut butter is a thing,
but it's a thing that. Well, I wasn't done talking. I just stopped talking in the middle of talking. But it's one of those things that people are kind of split on. But mostly it's more like 30%. You eat peanut butter because peanut butter and jelly is great, but most of the time you're like peanut butter and chocolate's terrible.
Huh.
No. To that what? Second part, that is a very fringy opinion.
Sometimes I
that's
say
like
things.
That's like my
just...
jeans opinion, all right? Or my shorts opinion. Yeah, that's a fringy opinion right there, okay? Man.
Remember when we talked about losing your credentials for being wrong?
Yeah.
You would be out of a job right now, Corey.
We need to bring this segment back at another point, Alec, but just a one-off segment of what is the fringiest opinion that you hold that you will fight to the death for? Because I know yours is Oreos.
I'm going to make you drink that Coke Zero this week. I hope you know that.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh,
yeah, it's going to happen. There is a lot of weird things.
Even if I was crawling through a desert.
What?
Dying of dehydration.
Man.
If I saw Oreo on the side of it,
man.
I would pour it into the sand.
Well, that is just foolishness.
Yeah.
You're going to let your pride kill you in the desert?
I'm going to let my taste buds help me live.
No, you're going to die.
I would probably die quicker.
You're suffering from dehydration.
I would die quicker drinking that crap.
I mean, there's zero sugar and zero calories.
Oh, man.
Just saying,
man. You make a valid point.
Hashtag not an ad. From the 903, peanut butter and pickles on a Ritz cracker. I feel like that wouldn't be horrible.
I don't like pickles.
Peanut butter and pickles is interesting to me because that always was the pregnant woman thing, right? I would always hear that a pregnant woman were craving that. I'm not sure exactly what it was about it.
I have no experience with that, but I've heard that before. Yeah, that's one of those odd ones. Keep those coming in, 877-881-1053, because I got to play this sound. Mike Bassick, before he left for Rangers assignment, he asked me if I heard this. I had heard this, and I was waiting till Monday to respond. Mike can't defend himself right now, but I'm just going to defend myself in a unique way. Peyton Russell said this during the payload last Thursday because he played that piece of sound of Mike saying that Peyton has the most boring voice ever. I agreed. And this was Peyton's partial response. The whole response was way too long. I'm not giving him that much shine during my own segment. So here's the lead-in to him playing that clip.
You know, this clip I'm about to play here, I mean, this is Mike. This was, I believe, a couple of days ago on Alex's segment, whoever, you know, whatever that is, AM on the FM, AM on the AM, whatever it is. It's some words jumbled up together and then a little intro with the bed music. You know, very, very, very cute for Alex. But glad they're giving him airtime since he was replaced on the weekends.
Damn!
That happened.
Wow!
You got replaced on the weekends?
That feels oddly personal.
Yeah, I haven't heard myself in a while, so.
Oh, man.
You might have a point, but.
Oh, but you're on this show now. That's why.
On to greener pastures, you know. But instead of, like, trying to dunk on him, you know, and go personal attacks, I'm just going to get in my bag for a little bit because I feel like I've gotten away from my ways since I haven't been on the weekends. So you know what I did? I woke up early this morning and I watched the tape from last night. And that's something I used to do a lot. And I'm going to start doing a lot more now because I'm going to use that mic time that Peyton Russell doesn't think I get. And we're going to talk about this game yesterday because I saw a tweet from one John Owning, who's going to be on with the G-Bag Nation 320 on Wednesday Pro Football Focus. He is fantastic at breaking this stuff down. Somebody tweeted at him and asked if Micah actually played well. And he said he set very good edges if you go back and watch. So I was like, okay, I got to watch this tape. So I had some takeaways from the defense overall. And we're going to start there. Tank Lawrence, he battled, man. That's my favorite Chris Woodward 100 loss phrase right there. Yeah. Whenever a pitcher would get shelled for seven earned. Battled. You know, he battled. You know, Tank battled. And I say that nicely. I really do. He actually tried. He stuck to his assignments. It was just a rough day at the office. Micah, on the other hand, he did set his edges very well. He just played hero ball rather than actually reading his zones like he's supposed to in that scheme.
Was it weird to you then that he talked about we don't need people being Supermans?
Yeah, happening? Yeah, Superman. It is very weird.
I got a question about that. Go back to Philadelphia running RPOs against the Cowboys and how confused Micah looked.
Yeah.
Do you think it's hero ball or do you think he doesn't know how to read it and he doesn't know how to react to it and he still gets a little confused? Maybe it is because the hero part of him is like, I got to go make this play. As opposed to being within the system and letting the play, you know, drag out and be less yards, negative yards, instead of saying, hey, I'm going to let the system play.
I almost wonder if it goes back to the whole leadership thing that he's been talking about this offseason where he feels like he has to do too much and to play that hero ball because he is wearing number 11 and people talk about him and put him on this pedestal. So I think it might be a healthy blend of not knowing versus just saying, hey, nobody else is going to do it. I may as well.
Yeah, that's really valid.
Which in a system as refined as Mike Zimmer's, I feel like you kind of have to just play your assignment or it's going to be worse than the outcome might even be. Because that was my second takeaway watching the film is I think Mike Zimmer is just a creature of habit at this point.
Yeah.
Because it felt like he stuck to that single high look almost the entire game, which if you really think about it, the design quarterback runs that Baltimore uses, there's a lot of lead blocking for Lamar. They don't want a free rusher getting in front of Lamar Jackson because bad things could happen if they're bull rushing and they get a full speed hit on your franchise quarterback. Not a good look. So they have a lot of lead blocking. What does that mean in turn against a single high coverage? You're getting a lot of like one man down looks on your defense. You're just short a man when it comes to those blocking. You're getting a fullback, whether it's Ricard, the fullback, a pulling guard. Somebody is running an open space and they have nobody to block just because there's nobody there. There's not enough defenders in the box on the outside, especially, which is funny because Jerry kind of told us that the Ravens were going to run straight up the middle a lot. But you did see a lot of bouncing to the outside. You did see a lot of zone running, which felt very familiar to what Clint Kubiak did with the Saints. Not exactly one-to-one, but they gave you the same looks. And what happened? The lead blocker was able to run downfield and pick up somebody in the second level, in which the second level was awful in tackling yesterday. Awful.
And how many times those defensive tackles couldn't wreck shop and couldn't blow up a play in the backfield because they're getting pushed around.
They were getting pushed around, and not only that, they were biting on a lot of the fakes.
Yep.
They were just getting fooled, and you were talking about Micah might not really know what's going on there. Talk about the defensive line in general, especially those tackles. The interior, they were getting fooled. So getting pushed around is one thing. Not knowing what you're doing is another.
Excellent insight right there. As part of AM on the FM, a couple of injury updates for you. Browns All-Pro guard Wyatt Teller suffered a grade 2 MCL sprain. They're thinking he might be out for about 4 weeks. And for the Lions, pass rusher Marcus Davenport suffered what appears to be a serious elbow injury. They're following up today, but he could need surgery and could miss the rest of the season. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Well, Dak did do something special this weekend.
Hell yeah!
We talk about it next on The Fan.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.